To God, and God will come near to you. Now let us push aside the things of earth that call us, the things that are pressing on our minds, and let us look heavenward. Let us turn to the Lord God Almighty, our Father who art in heaven. And by doing that, we affirm that, yes, God is there, and God is here. And God invites us to come before him. God invites us to ask, to seek, to knock. He invites us to pray. So we come to do that now. This is a holy moment. This is a special place and time. It's a time we gather here to present ourselves before our God. Come near to God. How? Just say it in your heart, Lord, I'm here. Lord, I come to you. I present myself. And sense how that feels. How does it feel to be in God's presence? What do you sense now? What do you feel? What do you hear? How is God coming to you? How is God blessing you now? Let's open your heart and say, Lord, I'm here. Come and touch me. Come and touch me deep in my soul and heal me of all that's broken, Lord. Come and touch me. Feel his touch in your soul. Feel his breath breathing upon you. Feel his touch on your body, healing you and making you well, making you strong. Yeah, you could say, Lord, I'm weak, I'm frail, I'm falling apart. Things are not going well with me physically. I need to be healed, Lord. I need to be touched. I need to be restored. Touch the hem of his garment this day. Lord, we come. And we come today opening our hearts to your word, to hear from above, to understand more about the things of earth and the things of heaven, and to get a wonderful assurance that the risen Christ, the ascended Christ, is with us now. Help us also to hear what you're calling us to do, to be your witnesses. Bless us as a community of believers. And bless your church throughout the world. Lord, help us to be faithful to the gospel of Christ. Help us not to be ashamed to claim his name. Help us to be true to him who died for us. Offer a prayer for our nation, our president, our leaders of the world as they gather to deal with the problems facing humanity. Offer a prayer. Yes, Lord. And now let us pray for each other, those sick among us, those suffering, those in need. Let's pray for others. Lord, we thank you that we can have this audience with you. We thank you that you hear us. And we thank you most of all for the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus, you're more precious than silver. Please come back with me to our scripture for today from the book of Acts 1, and also we have two verses from Luke 24. You may know that the author of Luke, the author of Acts, is the same man, Luke the physician. So we have the account here from one and the same gospel witness. We sing and we celebrate very much in the church Christ the King, Christ the Exalted One, Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father. But how did Jesus move from walking the earth to being seated at the right hand of God? We may ask that question. Luke answers it for us. He tells us 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. St. Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 simply puts it, he was taken up into glory. And we summarize it in the Creed when we say, the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. Our Lord came from heaven to earth. At some point, he had to return. He did not just disappear or secretly exit the earth. No, he ascended into heaven. And so he took his disciples to Mount Olivet. And as Luke records it in Luke 24, while he was there blessing them, before their very eyes, he was taken up. And these men who witnessed it recorded it in the scriptures for us. The story of the ascension doesn't fit the thinking of some modern people. It doesn't fit into our understanding of how life works. But my friends, it is here in the Bible, all right? It is here to stay. When you get home, you may open your Bible. You're going to find this story there. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this story of one in flesh going up to heaven? What are you going to do with it? The Bible calls us to do one thing. Believe in your heart. So let us look at this text today through the eyes of, or the lenses of, three basic questions. He ascended into heaven. So where did he go? How did he go? And why did he go? Where did he go? It's very simple. He ascended into heaven. And if you were to look at the passage from Acts 1, the word heaven appears 5 times in these verses. It's about heaven. Jesus often said, I came from heaven to earth. And he would often say, I would return to heaven. He said, I am the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And Peter, a man who walked with the Lord and knew him very well, in chapter 3, 22 of 1 Peter said, Jesus Christ has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. So the question for us today is, do you believe in heaven? Gallup polls taken on this question over time shows that somewhere between 81 and 85% of Americans say they believe in a place called heaven. 10% are unsure. 8% do not believe in heaven. Are you in the 8%? The 10, or let us say the 81 or the 85. Do you believe in heaven? As for people who attend church regularly, like most of you here, 98% of such people say, we believe in a place called heaven. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray what? Our Father who art in heaven. Where did he go? He ascended into heaven. Among those who may be skeptical of God and heaven, and whether God is there and whether God could do anything, whether God should be respected, God should be honored. There's a funny little humorous story of this priest and nun who went out to play golf. And the priest put the ball, I know nothing about golf, friends. I know you hit the ball and you go after it, but I know nothing else about it. So the priest put the ball down on the ground and he swung and he missed. And he said, darn, I missed. The nun said, Father, that's not right. You shouldn't speak like that. God is in heaven watching you. He could hurt you. Well, he didn't care about God in heaven. Put a ball down and he swung and he missed. He said, darn, I miss again. The priest said, Father, be careful. God is in heaven watching. God is listening. Well, he doesn't care about God. this priest should not play golf. He put the ball down and he swung again and he missed and he said, "Darn, I miss again." And saying that, a bolt of lightning came out of heaven and struck the nun dead. And when the priest looked up, he heard a voice saying, "Darn, I miss again." There is something up there, something down here. It's only a joke, friend. God doesn't miss. God hits the target every time. There is a place called heaven, a real place. And Jesus went there. How many of you give thought to what you were singing? Hymn number 158, the last stanza. "Praise yet the Lord again, alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain, alleluia, amen." Now this, on heaven's blissful shore, his goodness we'll adore, right? Singing forevermore, alleluia, amen. That's our faith. Amen. I believe in a place called heaven. Where did he go? Leaving earth, he ascended into heaven. Secondly, we ask ourselves, here's the meat of the whole chapter. How did he go? On the slopes of Mount Olivet, according to Luke 24, he raised his nail scarred hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he was taken up. He was lifted up. He was carried up into heaven. As I said, Jesus came. His ministry had to end at some point. He did not just disappear or fade or vanish or became a missing person. He was taken up, and he invited them to watch this. This, my friends, is not a NASA moment. 00, whatever, lift off, throttle up, Roger. No, this is not a NASA moment. This is not a Star Trek moment. Remember, Captain Kirk would say to Montgomery Scott, when he wanted to get from some strange place back onto the spaceship Enterprise, he would say, "What, beam me up, Scotty?" This is not beam me up, Scotty. This is not of man. This is the power of God. As a father would reach down and pick up his son, pick up his daughter, the Lord reached down and picked him up. He was taken into heaven. That's how it happened. Notice the voice of the tense of the verb. Is passive. The power of God embraced him and carried him back into. And somebody here may say, "Well, preacher, that certainly fits into the flat earth society thinking. You know, people who believe that the earth is flat and that heaven is up there and hell is beneath our feet somewhere." I agree with you. The Bible comes from a pre-scientific age. That is true. We cannot prove the incarnation. We cannot prove the resurrection. We cannot prove the ascension. But the Bible doesn't call us to prove these things or understand these things. We are just called to believe them. You may say, "Is it not impossible for a body just to defy the laws of gravity and just rise up and go to heaven?" Oh yeah, of course that's impossible. It is also impossible for one to be born of a virgin, ain't it so? It is also impossible for a man to walk on water with dry feet. That also is impossible. It is also impossible for one to die and be buried and 3 days later walk out of his grave. Jesus did all of these things. Everything about his life is impossible with us. So if you say, I can't believe in the ascension of our Lord, then you can't believe in anything Jesus, for everything Jesus is miraculous and mysterious. And so the scriptures were not written to satisfy our inquiring minds. The scriptures were written to inspire our believing hearts. The third day he arose from the dead. Where is he now? He ascended into heaven. But you may say, I believe in the spiritual significance of the ascension. Well, what's that? How do you have the spiritual significance of something that does, that let us say, did not happen at all? These men were there, and they saw that the man who brought a body back from the grave would now take that body back into the Godhead. And the mystery of this whole thing, friends, is that in the Godhead, there is one, even Jesus Christ, with a body he carried from the earth. He is seated at the right hand of God. Today, the church's calendar says, we celebrate the ascension. What is that? Jesus went back into heaven. Where did he go? How did he go? And thirdly, we could ask ourselves, well, why did he go back into heaven? His work on earth was complete. The Father accepted it. His ascension is like the stamp of approval on all that he had done. Now he is exalted at the right hand of God. Heaven and earth are connected. Heaven and earth are his. He left there, he came here, he returned there. He is Lord of heaven and earth. Why did he ascend? It is his dwelling place. He said to his disciples, remember, I go to prepare a place for you. That's why he ascended. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Why did he ascend? To prepare a place for us. A place beyond this place. For heaven is not our final destination. As the songwriter said, earth shall not end the strain. When you die, it's not done and over. Your soul needs a place to go. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. He ascended into heaven. And since he went to heaven to prepare a place for you, for me, it is a heavenly place that he prepares. Again, he told his disciples, I am with you always to the very end of the age. While on earth, Jesus was in a physical body. He could only be one place at a time. But now ascended, he is everywhere. At the same time, for he does not have the limitations of a body anymore as he had on earth. He is more present now than he was when he walked the earth. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. He ascended into heaven. He is with us every minute of every hour of every day. So to have Christ in heaven with the Father means he is present with us on earth. He is here now because he is there now. He is in us because he is with the Father. This is why he ascended into heaven. And so, friends, the true power that rules the universe is not to be found in any state capital in the world. The true power is in heaven. He ascended into heaven. So verse 10 and verse 11 of the Acts reading tells us, while he was going up, the disciples were gazing up towards heaven, and suddenly two men in white robes stood beside them. Verse 11, they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Sisters and brothers, this is called the second coming of Christ. I must apologize. We don't hear much preaching on the second coming of Christ. Have you ever heard of a sermon on the second coming of Christ? Anyone? All right. Would you like to hear a sermon on the second coming of Christ? I don't. It seems as though as many as has never heard one seem to be the same number who don't want to hear one. And what do you think verse 11 is telling us? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come again in the same way. He went up, he's going to come back down. What does that mean, friends? What do you think it means? Jesus is coming back. John Knox, great Presbyterian he was, he said, "Has not our Lord taken our flesh into heaven? And shall he not return? We know that he shall return." John Wesley, "The spirit in the heart of the true believer says with earnest desire, 'Come, Lord Jesus.'" Let us read the Bible, friends. There is a doctrine of the second coming. Jesus is coming again. His return is the hope of the world. Look at the problems we have from continent to continent. The world is torn and the world is troubled. The world is in despair. And full of fear. There's helplessness and hopelessness from sea to shining sea. Our financial deficit is just one aspect of our human condition. The moral and spiritual decay in our land is offensive in the face of a holy and righteous God. Our hope is not in the next election and who wins it. We need a hand let down from heaven to help us. As Martin Luther, the reformer, would say, we need the man of God's own choosing. And the man of God's own choosing is not a mortal. We need God to answer that prayer for us. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven, thy kingdom come. Our only hope as a race is that this Christ of God, our Savior, that he would come back and save us all. And thank God that is the message of the two witnesses. You see him going to heaven. It isn't over. He is going to come back. I gave you a poll a while ago. Well, here's another one. Pew Research 2006. 79% of Christians believe that Christ will return to earth someday. 79%. I was surprised at the other statistic. 20% of these believe that he would return in their lifetime. Let us read the Bible, friends. It teaches that Jesus will come again. The angel is saying, do not despair. He'll be back. The implication of the ascension, therefore, is found in verse 8 of the text. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says, I'm going. I am leaving you. But I am leaving you as my witnesses. I am leaving you as bearers of the good news. He took his body to heaven. He left us in his place. Teresa of Avila reminds us of this verse in this way. She said, Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out with Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless people now. You are my witnesses. He ascended into heaven. Where did he go? Heaven. How did he go? By the power of God. The power that planted him in the womb of the Virgin Mary. By that power, the power that raised him from the dead, by that power, he was lifted up and restored to glory. Why? So that in heaven now, he watches over us. In heaven now, he mediates for us. In heaven now, he pleads our case. He makes intercessions for us. From heaven now, he guides, he protects until he comes again. Amen. Amen. Number 162, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah. died and is risen. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the risen. Hallelujah. We have been crucified with Christ. Now we shall live forever. Hallelujah. Let us praise the living God, joyfully sing to our Savior. Hallelujah. The risen Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give praise to His name.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we hear your word this day. We meditate on the ascension, that Christ Jesus came. He suffered, He bled, He died, He rose again from the dead, He remained 40 days on earth, establishing that fact, and then, Lord, by your power, you reached down and you took Him up. He returned to heaven. Now He sits at your right hand as our Savior, as our friend, as Jesus, lover of our souls. And He has promised us that now He is there, He would also be here with us in all that we go through, that He would be ever present on earth, because He reigns and rules in heaven. Lord, bring us to this faith today. Help us to believe this with all our hearts, that the risen Christ, now in heaven, is with us now in this place. Would be with us as we leave, as we drive home. Would be with us in our home, would be with us wherever we go this week for the rest of our lives. He is there. So knowing this truth, sisters and brothers, would you draw near to God? Would you affirm His presence? Think of what you're going to face this week. Anything challenging, anything big, anything scary, anything too much? What are you facing in your life now? Say in your heart, the Christ who ascended into heaven is with me now. I should fear no evil, for thou art with me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Know that He went into heaven so that He may be with you in all places at all times. Receive His presence, receive His blessings, receive His peace. In the name of Christ, O Lord.
Amen. Now let us give our gifts.